Good morning, everybody. We are on Parashat Vayikra. We're starting a new book. And you know, this book, mostly all those speakers, they don't like to talk about this book. Why? Bereshit is stories, Shmot is a lot of stories, Bamidbar stories, Dvarim stories. And this book is like boring, like it's talking about Korbanot and, okay, whoa, sacrifices and all the details. And some people think that, leave me alone, let me live. Well, it's not interesting. It's like, you look, this there was this speaker, and he knew only one speech, good speech, on Parashat Korach. So every time he got to a place, he says, okay, what do you want me to speak today? So this one said this. I see there is a machloket. So we'll talk about machloket Korach v'adato. Each time we talk about machloket Korach v'adato, but I'm not doing it. Yes, but I'm not doing it. We will see the beauty of Sefer Vayikra and learn that there is so much to see inside. For example, the first pasuk itself already is a puzzle. Why? Vayikra, here you see there is an aleph ktana, there's a small aleph. Some of the chumashim, I don't know if there is a small aleph, but in the... Yeah, small aleph. Because in the Torah, there is a small aleph. So in other words, when you look briefly, you don't see Vayikra, you see Vayikar. Now, what's the difference? Vayikar is like, by accident, Mikre, Vayikar. Vayikra is to call, an intention. Because if you remember, last week, we leave Moshe Rabbeinu outside the tent. He cannot go into the Ol Moed because the Divine Spirit is there filling the whole place and he cannot go in. And we said that it's amazing that in our Parsha, Sefer Vayikra starts with God himself calling Moshe Rabbeinu, come in. Who? This is unbelievable, the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Kodesh Baruch himself calling him, come in. So why did the book of Shmot end in a certain point that Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go in? But the truth is, not only he went in, the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself called him to go in. But we talked about it, that in our religion, we don't make the prophet an idol. We have only one God, and this is God in heaven, and this is who we worship, and we don't worship nobody. No person, he can be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, still we don't worship him. And that's why the Torah is showing us that even Moshe Rabbeinu cannot do what he wants to do. Yes, Kodesh Baruch Hu calls him. But that's the beginning of our parsha. Now, what's the idea of Korbanot? Because we are going to talk a lot about Korbanot. Okay, so first of all, there is a whole discussion between the Rambam and the Ramban. And the discussion is that in the future, are there going to be animal sacrifices or not? The Rambam says not. The Ramban said yes. We have to understand that also this argument is not really a physical argument, it's a spiritual argument. Why do we bring a sacrifice? And you have to understand when we talk about Rambam and the Ramban, we don't even understand half of what they know. Half? We don't know nothing of what they know. So the argument is a very deep argument. We will try and use their opinions in order for us, simple people, to understand what it's all about. Yes, do you want me to do?
I said that we're doing Korbanot, one is to repent and one is to say.
People don't hear you on this side.
Said that we give Korbanot, one is to say thank you to Hashem, and the other Korbanot is to say sorry that we want to repent.
Yes, that's the reason we bring the Korbanot. But the idea is, why do we have to sacrifice animals? Yeah. That's the argument. Sacrificing, by the way, when we talk about sacrificing, it's sacrificing ourselves. It's not really the Korban. The Korban is only a symbol. Now, that's the argument. Is there really something in this sacrificing animals on the altar, or is it only something spiritual? Now, the Rambam says that in old times, because there were idol worshippers, and they used to worship the idols with sacrifices. So in order for us not to chas v'sholom go and sacrifice to idols, The Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us sacrifices, so we worship God with them. But today, when there is no more Avodah Zarah, there are not many people in this world that worship idols. There are still, by the way, but not a lot.
The Catholics really do.
Yeah, we call it, but it's not really, they're not really taking a stone and worshipping it.
Yeah,
I know. That's what we say, that they're idol worshippers, but it's not the same as it used to be. They don't bring sacrifices to their God.
Yeah,
but the main majority of the world doesn't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And of course we won't do it. There is no scare that a Jew will decide to sacrifice something to an idol. Because that's not the way that we communicate with God today. That's why the Rambam says, generally speaking, that la'atid lavo, there are not going to be sacrifices of animals. The Ramban says a very interesting thing. He says that the whole idea of sacrificing an animal is something that we don't understand. There is a lot of spiritual in it. There are a lot of things that are highly being considered, and we don't understand what it is. And that's, everybody is created for a certain reason. And everybody has got a task in life. Now, an animal, and by the way, the whole creation is for whom? For human being. In other words, the human being is the one who is in charge of everything, and the whole creation was created for men and women. In other words, for the human being. So, everything serves the purpose of the human being in this world, building himself for the next world. So also the animals are here for a certain reason, the same way as we eat animals, those who eat, the same way as we bring a Korban Pesach, so the same way we bring a Korban, and in the Korban there are a lot of things. But I want to talk about the idea behind it. Animal. As we said, the neshama is built from 5 levels. We always talk about 3 levels. And the 3 levels we talk is nefesh, ruach, neshama. Nefesh is the beastly soul. In other words, the part that wants to eat and wants to live, the very low physical part. The spirit is the ruach, which is the spirit to want things, to do things, and have the heart in it. And the neshama is the connection that connects us to God. That's the part of God that is in us, the highly part. Now, when we sacrifice an animal, we are really sacrificing our beastly part of the neshama. Our desires are running out after things that we don't have to do, doing things that we're not allowed to do. Why? Because we desire, we want. That is like an animal, and this part has to go on the altar and be sacrificed to God. That's the symbol. That's the idea. In other words, I come to God, and there is another important point. It says we call reach nichoach laHashem. What is reach nichoach laHashem? A good smell. But a good smell by itself, is it enough?
No.
Why?
Because you have to have a feeling.
It's like you are angry, and you go around in a restaurant,
and you just smell.
And you smell all the good things, but the problem is you haven't got a credit card, you haven't got no money, and you cannot go in and eat. So, what is the smell doing you?
It makes me more hungry.
It makes me more hungry. For otherwise, I come back home, and when I am very angry, and I come in, and coming near the door, I smell all the good things that are being cooked inside. And I know that when I go in, I will have good food to eat. In other words, the smell of the Korban has to tell us what are we going to do in the future. In other words, you cannot just bring a sacrifice and say, okay, I did it. No, you have to change your behavior. It has to be reach nichoach. It has to smell good, and the smell has to show God that we've got the intention to do something. Because otherwise, the smell's got no meaning. It's not a reach nichoach. it's just a smell with no meaning. That's sometimes we look at the thing and not look at the whole picture. You bring a sacrifice. Okay, very good. You brought the sacrifices to God. So, what does it mean? I sinned, so I bring a sacrifice, and now I go on with my life. Is this the problem?
No.
The problem is, why did I sin? Because we want to fix things. So korban is liot karov, litkarev. Korban is to get close to God. Korban, karov. And by the way, the Torah is telling us that you're not allowed to bring on a korban, not yeast, and not honey. Kol seor vekol dvash lo takrivu mimenu l'Hashem. Not allowed to bring. Now, yeast, in front of Pesach, yeast is the something that is showing us yetzer hara, and showing us also pride. Why? Because yeast, you put something small in the oven, and the yeast makes it big. This is gava. This is being proud. And proud has got no place when you bring a sacrifice. You have to be humble. You are bringing a sacrifice to God, understanding that you did something wrong. That this is a thing, they don't do it from a point of view of proud. They do it from a point of view of humbleness.
But who eats the sacrifice?
There are all kinds. There is a sacrifice that all of it goes to God, which is called Olah. There is a sacrifice that part of it goes to God, part of it goes to the Kohanim, and there is also part that goes to the human being. For example, the Korban Pesach, everything goes to the man. Nothing goes to God. So there are certain kinds, and this also a symbol to show us. From the first thing is, when you give everything to God, you tell God, I am yours. But the other side is, you also have to do something. So there are sacrifices that part goes to God and part goes to you. Because it's exactly a combination of human being. The human being is built from a spiritual part and a physical part, from the neshama that comes from God, and from the physical body from here. So in order to survive, you need to eat. If you don't eat, you cannot be only spiritual. So Olah is like the spiritual part of the korbanot. All goes to God. The other korbanot are partly spiritual and partly physical, materialistic, because human being is a combination of spirit and physical. So you need to eat, you need to drink, and you also need to be spiritual. And this is the symbol, and you're fixing it by bringing a korban. If I did something wrong here or something wrong here, if the what I did wrong is only in the spiritual part, if what I did wrong is also in the physical part, it goes together. So the physical, yes.
Why not honey?
Oh, that's what I want. It's a good question. I would think, honey? Why not? It's sweet. It's good.
Kosher.
What?
Honey is not kosher.
Why? Honey is no problem.
Because
by the way, it's not bean honey. It's a honey of fruits. A lot of people mistake. It's like you have eretz chita v'sorazen shet zemen udvash. The dvash is dvash of tmarim, of dates, not dates. Tmarim.
Yeah,
dates. So in other words, that's the honey.
Silan.
Yes, silan is the honey of dates. Now, why are you not allowed to bring this honey on a sacrifice?
Because it's the faith. You just said it's the honey of faith.
The thing is, the honey of the fruit, in what stage of the fruit you have this honey?
When it's ripe.
When it's more than ripe.
Yeah.
It's already rotten. So you don't bring anything that symbolizes end. You want to bring something that is for infinity. By the way, salt. Every sacrifice has to come with salt. Why salt? No honey, but salt. Because salt is something that doesn't rot, it stays forever, it's white, it's pure, and it preserves things. If you remember, in the old times, when they didn't have a refrigerator, your parents and my grandparents, or in my parents' time, I think they already had a refrigerator. And how did they used to preserve food?
Salt.
Salted. In other words, salt is something forever, something that keeps you. Something that, of course, everything has to be in a certain measure. By the way, water contains salt. So it's an acid of the creation. From the other side, it's salt is forever. We want to have a covenant with God forever. So you bring salt. You don't bring honey, because this honey is a symbol of wrath. And by the way, look how it is. Korban, Rikavon. They are the same letters. So you want your korban to go up to God and not to be rot, not to be rikavon. If you bring the dvash, the korban is being changed to rikavon. The honey of fruits is a symbol of the end of life. And this is not what we bring to God. So now we understand why not yeast, why not honey, and why you do bring salt. Salt is, without salt we cannot survive. Because melach, salt is forever. It doesn't rot. You can have salt in your cupboard forever. Nothing happens to it.
Doesn't get bad.
And that's exactly the point. That's what we want. The sacrifice is to fix us. Now, let's go back for a few minutes... to the small aleph. And as we said, small aleph is, there's a very interesting point here. It says, Vayikra el Moshe, the first pasuk says, Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem elav mo'el mo'ed le'emor. Look how many times it's written, call him, talk, call, talk, talk. Why do we need all those words? And also, very interesting point. Vayikra el Moshe, who calls Moshe?
God.
It's not written.
Vayikra
el Moshe. Who is calling Moshe?
Hashem.
Okay, but why is it not written? It should be Vayikra Hashem el Moshe. When you go on, Vayidaber Hashem elav. So it looks like there are two stages here. Vayikra el Moshe, who calls? We don't know. And then God is talking. By the way, one of the explanations says that it's not God calling Moshe Rabbeinu, but an angel. So an angel is calling Moshe Rabbeinu, and then God talks with him. But there is something else here. This Aleph Ktana, it says, Vayikra el Moshe. The only one who hears God's words is Moshe Rabbeinu. So there is a whole discussion. Why is only Moshe Rabbeinu the one who hears the voice? Because he must be standing there with a lot of other people outside. Now they build the Mishkan, everybody is there. How is it that only Moshe Rabbeinu calls? So some people said it was quiet. Only Moshe. No. Vayikra el Moshe. It was a normal voice. A loud voice. So how is it only Moshe Rabbeinu hears it and not the others?
Maybe that's metaphoric, because we don't all listen.
Why don't we listen? Who do we listen to? Ourselves. When you listen to yourself, you cannot listen to God. You want to listen to God? Vayikra, there's a small aleph. Not everybody sees. It says, Kol Hashem Bakoach, Kol Hashem Ba'adar. We say it on Friday night. Kol Hashem Bakoach, Kol Hashem Ba'adar. The voice of God comes in thunder. The voice of God is in the mountains. The voice of God is in the water. Everywhere. What's the meaning of the voice of God? God is talking to us. Not only to Moshe Rabbeinu. Unfortunately, only those who act as Moshe Rabbeinu, because the small aleph is also showing us that Moshe Rabbeinu is humble. Why? He made it specially small so it wouldn't look like God is calling Moshe Rabbeinu. By accident, Vayikar. And by the way, when God reveals himself to the prophets of the Goyim, it's Vayikar. It's by accident, like it's not Vayikra. So Moshe Rabbeinu in his humbleness made the aleph small so it would look like Vayikar. So in other words, if I want to listen to the voice of God, I have to be humble. I have to listen to others. When I listen to myself, I don't listen to nobody. We all know it. Now, what is the voice of God? What's the meaning of God is calling us all the time? Kol Hashem Bakoach, Kol Hashem Ba'adar. Everything that happens around us is the voice of God. The problem is that we don't always hear it, or we don't understand that God is talking to us. And that's the meaning, Vayikra el Moshe, with a small aleph. It looks like an accident. I was there and I saw this and I saw that, and we don't understand that nothing happens by accident. If you've been in a certain place and you saw something, this was God talking to you, telling you something. What is he telling me? I don't know. Try and listen. Understand that there is something happening in front of you. It means that God wants you to learn something. A lot of time in life, we go by and we see things and we go on like, okay, it happened. No. You have to understand, Vayikra el Moshe, God is talking to us all the time. Not the same way he talked with Moshe Rabbeinu, because we are not at that level. But he's talking to us. How is he talking to us? You go and you see an accident. God is talking to you. You go and you see a friend doing this and that. God is talking to you. You wake up in the morning and you feel, so good. God is talking to you. You want to do something and it goes smoothly. He's talking to you. It doesn't go smoothly. He's talking to you. You spill the milk. He's talking to you. He didn't. Everything is the voice of God. This is the belief, our belief, that God, what we call Ashgaha Pratit. God is looking after each one of us individually like his only son, only child. Each one of us. We cannot understand it in our small mind, but that's what it is. Everything that happens to us around us is God talking to us. You know, I'll go to an exhibition. And I told you last year, I don't know if I told you, I was, last week, I don't know if I talked about it, when I met this girl in China and asked her to how to get to Bet Chabad. Yeah, well, it's a lesson. Yeah. It's a lesson. It doesn't happen like just 2 years ago, we've been in an exhibition and a few people decided to daven mincha. But we were in the exhibition. You know, the exhibition starts in the morning and in the evening. And not, you cannot go to Mincha. Mincha is in the middle of the day. It's not, you don't go to China and then in the middle of the day you leave the exhibition and you go to daven Mincha. So we decided to do Mincha at the exhibition. And this was also an experience. It wasn't so easy. God was testing us. And God was looking at us. Now, when we did what we do, we changed something. It's like you see this guy. He lives in Bnei Barak. And he's got underneath his house Ichkovich. The shul that you daven the whole day and the whole night. In other words, there is no problem of minyanim. No problem. Now, he finds himself in a place where there is no minyan. And in order to have a minyan, he has to go for half an hour, for example. Now, what is he doing? If he says to himself, half an hour walking, I'll daven by myself in my room. Okay. But if he decides to go half an hour and daven in a minyan, you know what he did now? He changed the whole picture. Even those minyans that he are underneath his house, he's going to get rewarded as he's going half an hour to daven. This is unbelievable. In other words, sometimes God is testing us in a way that if we do this test, we are going to elevate our salary in a way that we don't even understand. The reward is going to be unbelievable because God wants to know how important is it to your mitzvah. It's very easy to give tzedakah to somebody who comes and asks for it. Not checking who he is, who knows where he's taking it, maybe he's a drug addict, maybe he doesn't need it. Doing it is, you did a mitzvah, but what mitzvah did you do? But if you go and check and find out who are the needies in the community, who can I help that is going on Pesach, Kimcha de Pesach, that's the time now. Who is the family I'm going to help? Or I give to somebody that I'm sure that a family that hasn't have the money, they're going to be provided for all the food for Pesach. When I do this in the right way, I'm also going to be rewarded on all the easy times I gave tzedakah, the same way as I'm trying hard to give the tzedakah here. In other words, I am the one who are going to make my salary. I am the one who is in charge of it. I am the one who is going to decide what reward I'm going to get. How? God is talking to you all the time and showing you things. And he wants to see if you listen to him and what do you do with it. And when you do the right thing, you are the one. You are the one in charge. The problem is that we are so busy listening to ourselves that we don't listen to nobody else, and especially not to God. So sometimes, you know, in our parsha, the Torah is telling you there are a lot of gaps. So one of the explanations is that Moshe Rabbeinu was listening, stopping for a minute and thinking, what did he learn here? And then goes on. And that's also for us. Sometimes in life we have to stop because we are used to. Okay, we wake up in the morning, goes in the one minute, stop. Maybe it's something else I can do, or maybe I'm doing something wrong. Stop for a minute to think. That's why we have our mind. And listen to God. And then you will find out sometimes that there are things to being changed.
Yes. It says, and the Lord called Moses.
Sorry?
In the English translation, yes. It says, and the Lord called unto Moses.
We talked about in the past hundreds of times. You have to be very careful with the translation. Because translation sometimes starts to be not translation only, but an explanation. And that's when the problem starts. Because here is written... Here there's more things into... they put more sechel into it. But sometimes there are a lot of... You see, they're not so wrong. Because what they try to do is for you to understand in a simple way what the Torah is writing. So we all know that God is calling Moses. They don't want to get you muddled up. So they put words in, but they are not there. And that's when we lose the taste. We lose the pilpel. We lose the salt. And that's again here, Vayikra el Moshe. It's not written that God called him. Because this call is to each one of us. God is calling us, stop, listen, look, what are you doing? You know, I knew a friend many years ago. A good guy, really a good guy. And this guy had an ill kid. And he was dealing with it, and then he decided to do an amuta, a charity thing for those special needy kids for this special illness. And he built a whole operation, and really doing unbelievable things. One day I read in the paper that this guy is going to court on criminal things. What happened is, the beginning was beautiful. But then you know, a lot of money comes in, and you are putting a lot of hours into it. So you think to yourself, well, this is starting to get a real job. So if it's a real job, I need a salary. Then it goes on, and more money comes in and says, okay, I need to help. Who do you take to help you? Your wife. I need more help. Who do you take to help you? Your kids. Now, I cannot go around by foot. So you buy a car. Who is paying for the car? The charity. And then it's a car for the wife. And then it's going abroad to bring more money. And then suddenly you find out that the whole charity is really charity for yourself. And nevertheless, what happened to him is that it wasn't enough. It was taking so much from the charity that he owed the banks a lot of money. And then they started investigations. What's going on with this charity? And then they found out that he was really using the charity for his own benefit. Now, this was a good guy. I must make sure that you understand what I'm talking about. Even the best people in the world can get corrupted. This is why, even if you in charity, you have to stop and 1 minute, am I at the right way? And this is listening to God. You know, a sacrifice means I'm sacrificed today. What is sacrifice today? Sacrifice is something from me. As we all know, that's a sacrifice. It doesn't have to be an animal on an altar. It's my desire which is the animal in me. I am sacrificing it to God. And I'm taking my spiritual part to do the good in the eyes of God. Be'ezrat Hashem, we shall all, you know, everybody in a small way, do the good in the eyes of God and take this beastly part of us and sacrifice it to God. Be'ezrat Hashem.